from the four. Kirk takes the snap, looks right, fade left, end zone, and it is caught!
And with the sound of the horn, we welcome you back to another edition of the UK Scorchers podcast. I'm your host once again, James, and today we're finally joined by the two Toms. How are you both Hiya. Doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. And Tom Wade?
That's definitely going to take some getting used to, you know?
Well, as me and other Tom discussed before we recorded the his debut episode, he will be happy to know as TPJ.
Well, we're all together. TPJ's absolutely fine by me.
Whatever's happiest, I don't mind.
So
great name, though, by the way. I do like it. But before we do kick off, I have to say apologies for last time out. I've been busy with work. So, you know, can't always play. But, hey, we're back together. Let's get it. That's hopefully it's a much nicer conversation than what would have been if I was on the last one. So with that, let's just move on.
That's it. So today we're going to focus on just purely the Falcons game. We're coming up in week 6, even though they've had that slight scare with COVID. The facility, everything seems to have been coming back slowly. They'll be opening the facility up tomorrow, all being well. Let's jump right into the previews. So who wants to take it over?
Tom, do you want to take this one? Let's give you.
You go, mate. It's all yours.
Yeah, you know what I'm like. I do like these ones. These are my favorite. I'm much more of a preview guy than a review guy because the rants don't have to be so big. But yes, as we said, guys, you know, Vikings, what happened last week? Less said the better. I've literally just caught up on all my podcasts. So all I've heard all day is about how 4-1 situations just don't work in Minnesota. But if you think that we're in trouble-ish, like I would have said we are a little bit, take a look at this Falcons team, guys. So we take on the Falcons at US Bank Stadium on Sunday. They come into it off the back of a 23-16 loss to the Panthers. They fired Dan Quinn. Fired GM Thomas Dimitrov, and they're 0-5. I mean, if there's ever been a game where I've been thinking to myself all day, how can the Vikings not lose this? This is the one, right? Because everything I'm going to go through with you just lines up. The stars are aligned for the Vikings to take this win on Sunday. And my own health, my own mental health, I really hope they do. I mean, my general feeling around this one is the fact that it's either going to go one way or the other. We're going to bounce back in style, or the Falcons are going to win a game, and that game happens to just be against us, because once again, we're collapsed, because we're the collapse kings at the moment. But James, I'll fire it to you. My general feel is, I think we'll get a bit more into the stats and stuff in a bit, but just general feel. How are you feeling heading to this one?
What I'm feeling is the fact that the Vikings always have that one game a season where we go into it, we're going to win it, everything's going to be fine, and we'll do it. And you know what happens when come game day? We implode. Two seasons ago, Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen's first season. Oh, he's not going to do anything. We're going up against a rookie. It's US Bank Stadium. Up until the point where Josh Allen does a fucking front flip over Anthony Barr. We end up losing that game. Last season, the Raiders was a close one. Almost blew up there, but then they went away with it. I can't point one game where they were clear favourites and just ran away from them. But they had a lot of nervy affairs. And we've seen with Houston, replacing your head coach and GM, because Bill O'Brien had every job under the sun in the organisation. It really does just change the team. You play with a new attitude, a new aggression, and you come out, and they get their first win of the season after replacing Bill O'Brien. There's nothing to say that the Falcons can't do a similar thing against us. I'm just hoping that the fragile mentality that Dan Quinn had accidentally installed in the Falcons after the Super Bowl loss is still there, and it's a lot harder to root out. Fortunately for us, it looks like Julio Jones is questionable still, probably going to be out for the game. So that means we only have one real wideout to focus on, which is Calvin Ridley, but that is still an elite level wideout. Maybe not elite, maybe top tier, but not elite. It's just containing things that we've not contained throughout the season consistently. But if we can do it on Sunday, there's no reason why we shouldn't lose. I'm going to throw it to TPJ. Absolutely. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think I'm in the camp where we've got a very good chance of winning this game. I think we, as I said in our previous episode, that we are better than our record would indicate. The two games we've most recently lost have been by a single point. And I think we outclass both the Seahawks and the Titans in those two games. So I think we really should be a 3-2 side. And losing Dalvin Cook for a couple of weeks hurts us. But Alexander Mattison showed himself to be a perfectly capable stand-in for him, at least in the game he played. This will be his first start, I believe, in the league coming up on Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to that situation, being an RB1 for the first time in his professional career. I think this game is important for the defensive backs to step up, though. As you said, Calvin Ridley, potentially elite level wide receiver, but we've got a very, very young cornerback core. None of them are over the age of 23, I believe. I think we've got three rookies. I think Jeff Gladney and Cam Dantzler, it's the first time in ages that we've had two starting rookie corners.
First time since week 6 in 1999 that the Vikings have started two rookie cornerbacks in a game. And I think that game was against the Lions or something stupid like that.
But it's a chance for them to sort of blood themselves a little bit with the only really Ridley to focus on, you know, get him doubled with Hughes and whoever's in the slot, probably Gladney, and just shut that game down, focus on stopping Todd Gurley in the backfield as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I mentioned that this is the one game I really do believe that we just somehow just cannot lose. But let's remember, right? This Falcons team, for as bad as they are defensively, like on the offense side, they are actually all right. You know, you've got like you said, you've got Gurley, you've got Ridley. Again, just to mention on Julio Jones, he was obviously left out of practice. But I was looking earlier at some pre-game stats I like to look at of like how they fare against us, how they've been going. And let's take like Matt Ryan, right? He had 304 yards last week, two touchdowns, two interceptions. And he's had two straight games against the Vikings with two touchdowns or more, right? And then you come across and you think, right, so they've got Ryan. He likes to chuck the ball, right? He's lost Jones. Jones is out. So we're thinking we've only got one person now that we can concentrate on, which is Calvin Ridley. But Ridley actually leads the NFL with four games of over 100 yards or more. And in the last meeting against us, would you like to take a guess of how many we held him to?
Guess. I know he scored at least four touchdown. I'd say I think it was a big game for him. It was a big breakout, wasn't it? I think he went for like 118.
It's either going to be really low or really high.
I think he went for about 118.
Tom, would you like a little guess at that one?
No, I hazarded a guess at 12 because I thought it was going to be really low. So I'm sure you're going to tell us it's now right in the middle.
64 yards, one touchdown.
Well, this is Price is Right, hold, TPJ's one.
If all I'm saying is, if Jones is sat out and we've only got to worry about the deep threat being Ridley, I'm quite happy. If we can hold him 64 yards again, we're laughing because I'd be very, very impressed with that.
I think a player we're actually forgetting about, and I'm guilty of this as well, is Russell Gage. And he's a young wide receiver, and he's, you know, he's not ever had to bear the responsibility of like holding together that Falcons receiving like passing attack. But a lot of that responsibility will fall on him this week. And the same will go for the likes of tight ends, Hayden Hurst and Luke Stocker. Like they could be a safety valve for Matty Ice.
That's it. And it's always a case of you give a young player a chance to shine. I mean, we look at, if we want to look at an in-house example, everyone cried out week two or three for Justin Jefferson to get involved in the passing game. The week that he's finally involved in the passing game and we rely on him, he goes for 118 and a touchdown. There's nothing stopping Russell Gage. There's minimal tape on the guy, even though he's got a few games under his belt now. There's still minimal tape for what he offers. And this is the interesting thing with any sort of rookie or any person making their first proper start in the NFL. It's the lack of NFL game tape. College tape and everything, that's fine. Different ball game, different set of rules. When it comes to the NFL, you have to change your game up. And it's going to be interesting to see what adjustments Zimmer makes as a whole to counter threats that we've not come up against or come against regularly. I mean, this is the second season in a row we played the Falcons. And a lot of it has changed. I mean, last season they had Austin Hooper, I think it was, and now he's the highest paid tight end down at Cleveland, replacing for Hayden Hurst, who was at Baltimore for quite a while, I believe.
Couldn't get a game ahead of Mark Andrews, so obviously he had to move
Andrews on at the end of the day. But it's certainly going to be interesting. I think the Vikings don't have to only focus on doing everything right, but they have to focus on getting Falcons to do everything wrong. But this is a team that, as mentioned in the previous episode, the first team in history to lose a game in the fourth quarter when they lead by 21 points. Teams up until then were 499-0 in the win-loss column. Now all of a sudden there's a big fat L in that column.
And you know what? I'm sorry, Falcons fans. I'm sorry. But it had to be them that would break that, wouldn't it? It just couldn't have been anybody else.
No.
Well, it could have been the Browns. I mean, that would have been a very Browns thing to do. But
I do get that. They're, obviously, they've come on very well. But it just, the Falcons, they're just so good at throwing away leads and stuff. And it's like, I'm not even talking about the Super Bowl, actually. You know, you've got the two examples this year where they probably should have won and somehow collapsed. So maybe we can call this one the tale of two teams who could possibly collapse at any point. So this one's going to be one of them that's up in the air. But I want to be quite positive about this one. And if there's anything that makes me smile when I was looking at all the pre-game reading, it's the fact that since Zimmer's been in Minnesota, we're 4-0 against these guys, and we've won four straight. But also, last game you mentioned was week one at the US Bank. We beat these guys 28-12. Dalvin Cook went off. Who else went off? Anthony Harris went off. He actually won the NFC Defensive Player of the Week that week. So we have got a good history against these guys. And Kirk, you know, Kirk likes playing these guys too. So hopefully we can focus on getting our game right rather than seeing how we can pick holes in theirs.
But the issue with that is this season as well, Mike Zimmer, before coming up against the Colts, was undefeated against Philip Rivers. Historical stats this season for us specifically don't seem to matter anymore because we've just got this young defensive core. Unfortunately, they seem to be taking a step in the right direction. I mean, you look at Jeff Gladney in his Zoom conference yesterday. I've got a quote from here. He got asked the question about switching from inside to outside coverage because he's been doing both as a starter. And he got asked, how do you deal with that? How do you cope with it? And he says, really, it's just know who you're covering. He's not intimidated by these big names coming in. He's not intimidated by your Julio Joneses, your Calvin Ridleys. Christ, he could probably go up against a prime Antonio Brown and he'd look him square in the face and say, you know what, fine, let's go for it. This is a man that This is a man that last week squared up to DK Metcalf. If DK Metcalf was halfway down the street from me, I'd be walking the other way just in case he did anything. He's a scary dude. You've got this guy who's about 6 inches shorter. He's going, what are you going to do about it? Getting all up in your face. Jeff Gladney, that game, earned my respect more so than he did the week before, just because not only is he physical, which you like to see from a cornerback in a Zimmer defense, he's in your face, but in a good way. He's not arrogant, as he's shown in his press conferences. He's not coming in a truck full of money saying, pay me, like Jalen Ramsey a couple seasons ago. He's not showing off. He's just passionate. And this is what we need. We need these leaders to step up. Similar with Dantzler, he's stepping up in a big way, and it's showing a lot of promise for the future. A lot of fans overreacting at the start of the season with starting 1-4, going on this bad run. This is a lot to build on for the future, and it's just experience at this point. We've got a lot of rookies bleeding in. I mean, James Lynch recording his first sack shows this. We've got so many new pieces to try and fit in and see where they're going to be best at.
And it's also DJ Wanham a couple of weeks before.
Exactly. It's going to be a long and bumpy season, but the benefits in the long run are going to be huge.
We have to kind of accept that we're not in win now mode anymore. We were in win now mode a couple of seasons ago, and it kind of blew up in our faces with Sam Bradford like getting injured and Case Keenum having to come in, and that turned out quite well actually. But things just sort of have conspired against us over the last few years. Now this season it's been with the defensive line imploding, with Michael Pierce opting out and Danielle Hunter probably having to sit out the season with his herniated disc in his neck. But you know, we have to accept that we're not in that mode anymore. We want to obviously go as far as we can, but this is a team that is building for the future for the next few years, and see what we can do in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I listened to an interview earlier with Eric Wilson, and there's one thing that really made me feel quite happy. The fact, although it doesn't, we're not even that bad defensively. Let's be honest. We're not, we're really not that bad. I mean, our scoring defense isn't great. Our scoring defense isn't great, but we're not like dumpster fire bad, you know. It could be a lot worse. And we've still got people to come back. And Wilson mentioned, right, one thing I liked about this interview, and I think it was on the Vikings pod, he was saying about how they all listen. They all want to play for this team. You know, they're all happy to take it in. And it's like they've come in and they've bedded in so quick, and they're willing to work with the coaches. There's no sense of that rookie feel about them. And I like that. And that goes a lot about what you said, that, you know, Glenn squaring up to DK Metcalf saying, what are you going to do about it? I love that attitude. You've got to bring that fire. Experience might not be an issue, but if you've got balls, you can back yourself. Even at that age and with this experience, that's a lot for me. I respect that.
Yeah. Like, we've got guys with egos, like, and I think that sort of Gladney, it's an element of ego that he's willing to sort of back himself and say to DK Metcalf, I don't care who the heck you are, just like come and try and beat me. But we don't have any divas on this team anymore, I don't think. I think we got rid of the last of the divas by sending Stephon Diggs to Buffalo. And I'm wearing his jersey because of the Minneapolis Miracle. That's why I bought this. he provided me with one of the greatest memories I have as a Vikings fan. But that was not an attitude that we wanted in the locker room, and we've got rid of that now. And I think it's showing in the way this team is actually gelling and playing together. And like I say, we are better than our record indicates. Like the fact that our defense is ranked quite low is it betrays the actual quality of our team.
I agree 100%.
As well, going on this idea of fire, we've always been a better team when we've had that person who's got passion but isn't a diva about it. I mean, you look at Adrian Peterson, you look at Randy Moss.
Jared Allen.
Exactly, Jared Allen. But you look at that person, I mean, my favourite quote from Randy Moss's playing career always will be, he's just there, pre-game show, mic'd up, he's just going, 84, don't stretch. 84, don't stretch on game day. But that kind of attitude, and this is what pissed me off about the Vikings last season more than anything, especially on defense. We had these cornerbacks getting beat, and they seemingly accepted it. Every play, they were just like, oh, well, we'll get him next time. Instead of, no, I'm going to go up. I'm going to show someone. Or
pretended to be injured like Xavier Rhodes did. Gets beat on a big play and pretends he's done his hammy.
Yeah, it was the phantom hamstring.
And that's another thing as well. That's what I liked about Dancer. He got beat hands down last week on a long route, but he still didn't give up. He still didn't give up. And that's what I like. I like that.
Yeah. And I think a person falling victim to this at the minute, and TPG heard me say this on the last episode, I think Anthony Harris is falling victim to this wrong side of attitude. I mean, I went back and watched the Titans game just to see which player I'm on about. I meant it were a deep ball. Harris has come too deep, and Gladney gets beat on a deep route, and it goes towards the 8-9 yard line, and it just sits there. And Harris is nowhere to be seen, and it was his coverage that blew it. But in the press conference after, Zimmer blamed Harrison Smith. It's not his side, and it weren't his role. I think because of his heroics last season and leading the league in interceptions, it just became a thing where we're resting on this laurel that he is a good player.
I wonder if it's sort of playing the long game with Anthony Harris and being like, well, we don't want to blow too much smoke up your ass and make you think that you're worthy of a massive contract. And like when it comes to renegotiating next summer.
Yeah.
He's
a player that I wouldn't be too bad to see the other end of. And this is why I asked you the other day, would you trade him? Because if we can get any value for him, that's fine. But losing that money, freeing it up for other players would be great. But at the minute, he's not justifying that franchise tag, which is critical.
No, I mean, he likes a game against the Falcons, though. 2 games, 1 start, 5 tackles, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble recovery. And obviously the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Like I said, if we can get that out of him again this week and get that going forward, then I think, you know, he would start to maybe live a little up to that reputation of tag. But I agree with you both, actually. You know, when you say, would you be so disappointed to see the back of him? I've been more disappointed to see other key guys go this summer, like last summer now. You know, a few of those departures hurt more than that one would. But man, it is what it is. We just got to keep rolling and hoping that, like everybody else, he gets out of it.
I wouldn't, like, I think I feel who you're talking about with, like, some of the departures from the offseason just gone. Like, I feel like you're talking about Linval Joseph and guys like that. And
yeah,
I feel like we would prayers up Linval. I mean, we miss you, big guy.
You got the man in the gas mask in Philly.
But we wouldn't miss him so much if it wasn't for the fact that Michael Pierce had opted out of the season.
No.
Yeah. That one still hurts, man. But he's got to do what he's got to do, I guess.
Oh yeah, no. Everyone made the right decisions at the time based on the information they had. It's just COVID. COVID has ruined ever so much. And far be it from me to suggest that, like, American football is, like, high on my list of priorities when it comes to things that COVID has ruined, when there's so many people out there who are suffering from things far, far worse. But
yeah,
why did you have to take Michael Pierce COVID? Why did you have to do it?
And then why did injury have to take other key players in our defense? Yeah. Just why did COVID take the Vikings defense this year?
It's a product of our own design and a product of someone scrambling the bat down in China, apparently. But anyway.
Anyway.
I have a proposition for you both. So, historically, no team that has started the season 1-4 has ever made the playoffs, right? It's a true fact. However, no team that has ever started 1-4 has ever faced the prospect of having a 7th seed in the playoffs. So, with this in mind, do you guys believe, especially considering the absolute shit show that is the NFC East, do you guys think that the Minnesota Vikings could potentially be the first team in NFL history to start 1-4 and clinch a playoff berth thanks to the 7th seed? We'll start with Tom Wade.
Only if 6-10 gets you in. Because I don't see this team going any bigger than that. I mean, I said to you last week, the Seattle Seahawks was a free hit. That nearly messed me right up because I'd have gone 7-9, sorry. But 6-10, if that gets you in, then I think, yeah, but, you know, but
I don't we'd think have 6-10 gets you in this season.
We'd have to go minimum 500, and I just don't see it. Can you see us? I don't know. No, I don't think we, I don't, honestly, I don't think we get in. But like I said, if 6-10 gets you in, yes. If not, no.
I mean, this is where we point out something stupid I said on the last episode, which was that, I mean, if everything falls our way, we could go 10-6 this season. And I shouldn't have said that as Tom was taking a drink of water because I was expecting him to get more water all over his bed than spitting it out. But I can see us, I mean, all right, so we've got a very favorable stretch coming up now. We've got the Falcons this week at home, and then we have a bye week. Out of the next 6 games after that, 4 of them are at home. So out of the next 7, we've got 5 home games. If we go 5-0 at home, which I think is entirely possible, the only road games we've got are the Packers and the Bears. I think we've got every chance of going 8-8 this season. And I think we do make it into the playoffs at 8-8. I don't think we make it in at 6-10. I think a team could make it at 7-9, but I think it's more likely that a team will make it in at 7-9 by winning the NFC East.
Yeah.
I don't even see a team in the NFC East going 7-9 at this point.
They'll go lower than that?
Honestly, they could. One of them might win it by going 6-10. It could be that bad for them.
I back the Cowboys with Andy Dalton under center. I think obviously he's a downgrade over Dak Prescott. And I was like being glib before with prayers up Linval, prayers up Dak.
Absolutely. Prayers up Dak. Hopefully he makes a full recovery, gets his contract and does well for the rest of his career and comes back a stronger player after such a horrific injury. Or as Tony Romo put it, a little bit of cramp.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a great analyst, but he can't diagnose an injury for shit.
No, he was. What was his? He said. It showed a picture of it on the telecast. I'm sure you guys have seen it. I don't know why I'm explaining it. But he goes, I'm sure every single Cowboys fan right now is hoping that's just a bit of cramp. I mean, Tony, I love the guy. I really do. I think he's one of my favorite guys. But gee whiz, just at that point, please just keep your Cowboys takes to yourself. But it's funny, right? You mentioned the Cowboys. You said we got a nice run of home games coming up. Obviously, we're going to do a bye week special next week, so that's a special alert for everybody that picked up. We're going to do a special. But I just had to look at the schedule, right? So obviously, we got Falcons this week. We chalk that up. We win that one, right? Bye. Going to Lambeau Field. We never win there because all they do is cheat there. Just chalk that one off instant. Just don't turn up. Then you got the Lions at the US Bank. Very winnable game.
Bears. I'm going to be honest with that one.
Bears. Yeah, go on. I know
Lions at US Bank Stadium is going to make or break the Vikings season.
Well, that was going to be my next question after.
It's so important that we win divisional games.
Yeah.
I think if we lose, then I don't think the season is worth continuing. I think we should just say everyone opts out through COVID and everyone goes home. But if we win it, then like I say, I think going 5-0 at home in that 7-game stretch is eminently doable, and we finish the season, I mean, God willing, 8-8.
That was my point. We've got three straight at home. Cowboys, Panthers, Jaguars. That's 3 winnable games there, in my opinion. And in fact, with the Cowboys game, up until Dak got injured, I chalked that one off as well. I gave us no chance there because I think the Cowboys were rolling and Dak would take full advantage of us. But now there's 3 straight games at home. If you win those games, you've got the Bucks, the Bears at home, the Saints and the Lions to wrap it up. That gives you some confidence. But what I was going to mention before James jumped in, and we'll talk about it a bit more in depth week seven pod. But do you think how critical do you think the first 3 games are, the first 3 divisional games are after the bye? That do you believe that will actually make or break this season? Tom, I'll send that to you.
I think it has to, because I think well, divisional games are just so important. Like we know that 6 out of our 16 games every year come from within the division, and with 2 of them being on the road out of those 3 after the bye week, I think those are critical. I am worried that those are going to be the 2 losses in the next 7. But I don't know. I do think those are critical games, though. Those are very important to win. And if we don't, then the season's on a knife edge.
Yeah, I think James is right, though, what he said. The Lions at home is the deal breaker there. I mean, James, will throw it back to you on that just to get your thoughts, but that's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, so the game at Lambeau is a game that can go either way. We come back a fitter team after the bye week. Everyone's got whatever niggles they had out of the way. The Packers have still played through it, so they're going to be having some issues. And we've got to take advantage of that best we can. Hopefully, whatever kinks we've had on defense, they are slowly being ironed out. I mean, I've got a stat here for the defense this season. On third downs, they've only allowed 27.8%. to be converted. That's the best in the league. And even in Zimmer's entire tenure, it's 34.9% for his tenure as the Vikings head coach on third downs, which is amazing. I think that's the best in the league during this run.
It's also the best in the league. That's what I mean. That's what I meant earlier when I said it's not all that bad.
Yeah, but our issue is at the minute, we're not stopping those first and 10, second and 8 plays. And if we can sort that out with the bye week, not to be everyone, we're not going to expect to shut out immediately in week 8, but keep it a bit more competitive, because this is what I said to you, Tom, in our first episode after the Green Bay game. I said to you, I used an old Vince Lombardi quote, which pained me to say because of what Lombardi is to the NFL, but we didn't lose.
I don't know who's Vince Lombardi.
Oh, it's only a guy who's got his name on the trophy, that's all he is. They were just stuck for a name. But yeah, so the quote was, we didn't lose, we just ran out of time. And that was a critical thing against Green Bay. And I think we can go out and we can win that. But the Detroit game, Detroit have been, for the past few years, our whipping boys. We've not lost in the past 4 years, I think, to Detroit. Even when we got swept by the division last season, we still went 2-0 against Detroit. That's not only going to be critical for us, in sense that it sets up the rest of the season. We continue a bit of momentum, especially if we get that win against Green Bay. But it also seems a critical game for Detroit. There's no doubt in my mind that Matt Patricia is under fire at the minute. The Fords, how they run the Lions, they're going to expect results sometime soon. And it's still just, they're close, but they're not there. But last season they were close, but they weren't there. And in his first season, they were close, but they weren't there.
He's been riding his luck a long time.
He's been riding that pencil and just like flinging it at Dee Ford every time she sees, like, nope, not firing me today.
I don't see him holding on to his job much longer, to be honest. If they finish fourth in the NFC North again, and I can definitely see it happening, because I don't see us finishing any lower than third. Matt Patricia's job is toast.
Yeah, absolutely. But it just sets up the season one way or the other. I mean, you lose against Detroit, and then the Jaguars game all of a sudden becomes a must-win, and the Vikings never really perform well under that pressure during this regular season, let alone postseason, when it becomes a must-win. And if the Falcons game isn't the one we slip up on, I guarantee that the Jags game becomes the game that we slip up on, because that's just the kind of game the Vikings lose every season. Yeah. I expect Gardner Minshew to rush for 200 yards that game, just because it's how our luck goes at US Bank against the team we should win. But it's going to be a weird one. We need to go into the bye with momentum. We need to come out of it firing, and we need to prove to Green Bay it's not their division to run. The division comes through Minnesota. We need to retake that mantle.
Anyone listening to this who isn't a Vikings fan is going to think we're absolutely bonkers for saying something like that when we're 1-4.
Yeah.
It's tough because we weren't too long ago celebrating 13-3 with a backup quarterback.
But it's just so shows... easy to go from worst to first. It's easy to go from first to worst.
Yeah.
And losing a couple of players will do that. I mean, the bye week has come at a very opportune moment for us in terms of giving us... I don't want to disrespect the Falcons by saying that this game is a lollipop, because I think they can prove a little bit of a banana skin for us. But I think the game is... we should be the favourites for this game. But it's also given us an opportunity to like rest Dalvin Cook for an extra week. Like, he doesn't need to play this week and he doesn't need to play next week because we haven't got a game. So he comes back for the Green Bay game at Lambeau after 2 weeks rest, ready to show Aaron Jones who the best running back in the NFC North is.
I'll tell you now, Aaron Jones is a player that needs to wind his neck in. Personally, he spouts all the. This is my entire issue with Green Bay. They just talk pure and utter tripe. You've got Devontae Adams trying to claim he's the best wide out in the league. You're not even the best wide out in the NFC North. That's Adam Thielen. It's the same with Devontae Adams. He's not the best running back in his division, let alone the league. That's Dalvin Cook. It's just a case of they talk so much shit, but they've got Aaron Rodgers to back it up.
I was just about to say. You can talk that shit when you've got a guy that's playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
When you've got a quarterback who's one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game, then it makes the rest of the team don't have to be as good to look good.
All the entire, and I hope to God some Green Bay fans are listening. It's just like, oh, what are the rivals talking about? If you're listening to this, Green Bay fans, what your roster is 52 little brothers teasing the rest of the league. And once anything blows up in their face, they go run behind the one big brother everyone's kind of scared of because he's got a big arm. That's it. They're little kids.
A collarbone made of glass.
I mean, just run it into a bar and see what happens.
Anyway, guys. I think you guys said we each had to come up with a question for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yes, so to celebrate our first episode as a trio, we all came up with a surprise question for the other two to answer. And I think, seeing as you're the new boy, TPJ, go ahead first.
And seeing as I came up with this question during this episode, right. Okay, the Vikings have been decimated on defense this season. The offense isn't as strong as it could be. I would like to know which Viking of the past would you like to bring into this team that you think could see us get into the playoffs, make it to the Super Bowl, maybe even win it? Who would you bring in?
I'm going to give Tom the first answer to this, because I know who I'm going to say and I want to see if he agrees. Because there is a right answer to this. I don't care what anyone else says. There's a right answer to this right now.
Well, I'm thinking of a guy who I mentioned on the last show, and I'm wondering if you're thinking of the same person.
I might be thinking of a different guy, but there's a right answer to this, and I'm going to let Tom go first, and I'm going to tell you if he's wrong.
Do it.
Culpepper.
Wrong.
No, I'm joking.
I know how you feel about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Well, you said when, you know, it started to go wrong earlier. We went all from 2018. When did it all go wrong? Well, I'll tell you now, TPJ, it all went wrong when we decided to give that guy an extension for real.
You can call him Tom. I can't. Hey. When I'm addressing you, it's Tom.
You can both call me TPJ if you want, but Culpepper's not the answer. I mean, I'm going to give you another chance to come up with a different answer.
I mean, my mind tells me it should be someone defensively. It really should be to get in there and help those young guys. But I'm not bothered about that because we got guys that are coming back to sort them out. We got guys that are going to help those guys progress. So I'm going to steal this one and I'm going to take that smile off James's face. Randy Moss.
Wrong answer. Oof.
Wow. Why? It's not. I'd like to hear Tom's. I'd like to hear TW's explanation for why it's a good answer.
It is because we've got no other option than Adam Thielen right now. Jefferson, he's coming through, I swear. Yes, he is coming through. He's coming through, and he's been great. But he's still young, right? And he can perform. But I just feel if we had a guy as explosive as Moss in this team, it gives us that other option that we took away when we got rid of Diggs. Because now everybody always keeps double teaming Feeler, right? It takes that away. It gives the other defenses something to think about, and it gives us a player that can just come up with something out the blue when we need it. We need that spark. This team needs a spark. And if it's not coming from our quarterback, it can't come from our running back because he's going to miss a few games out. To win that, not necessarily win against the Falcons because we'll win that, but to beat Green Bay then, say, in a couple of weeks' time, that's the kind of thing that we're going to need. So I think that's what we're missing.
Okay. I like the answer. I don't think I agree with it, but I'd like to hear what James says.
Considering this season, there's a person on the roster that we don't know the designation of yet. It's all up in the air. Started off as a tweak. Now it's a herniated disc. He's probably beheaded at this point. We don't know if Hunter's coming back this season. We're missing that dynamic two-punch pass rush on the edge. We had it with Griffin and Hunter. It's been a staple of the Vikings defense all the way since the Purple People years. So the person I would bring in, if I could pick them out of their prime, bring them into this team and let them loose, Jared Allen. Put him on that edge, line him up from Yannick Ngakoue. They're not going to know what hit him. He's a sack machine. In his prime, he was wasted at us, in truth. He could have gone to anywhere and won a championship. He was a game changer. And having two of those, like we've had in the past, on either side, would just completely change that defense. We'd all of a sudden go from having one of the worst pressures in the league to giving the quarterbacks less than 2 seconds to throw. Jared Allen would just come in and destroy this league at the minute, especially with how offensive lines are. I'd argue that when he played in his prime, offensive lines was 10 times better. There seems to be a lack of elite linemen coming through.
Well, ours was. I know that.
Yeah. It's a situation
Ours would be 10 times better if we got rid of Drew Samir, but that was for last
time. I mean, praise God he's out injured, but this is a league. We're at the minute.
No, I'm not having that. We never pray that anyone gets injured. Bless all the knees and keep them healthy.
Just
wow, this one's,
make sure his wrist doesn't heal up.
Yeah, this one's a wrist. He was on the injury report today.
Oh, I know why his wrist was injured. He was too busy jacking off Zimmer for getting him that starting spot still.
too many holding penalties.
Anyway, Jared Allen.
Do you want to hear my answer?
Go on.
I'm going, I said it was someone who I mentioned in the last show. I'm going Hutch. Steve Hutchison. Shore up that offensive line. Be a pillar in the center of the... or in the interior line at left guard, slide over whoever's playing left guard to right guard and let, or even bring in Ezra Cleveland. Let Riley Reiff, Brian O'Neill, Garrett Bradbury in the middle, Steve Hutchison on the left, Ezra Cleveland on the right guard spot. That's your offensive line. That's who Dalvin Cook runs behind every single play or who we fake to. And then it opens up the opportunities for Thielen, Jefferson, BC, BB, Irv, Kyle, all those guys. I think if we shore up that offensive line, and it's only I think it's only a really good guard away from being like a serviceable line. That's the change I would make. Bring in Hutch.
Although I said it to Tom as well, that's the wrong answer. Jared Allen's the right answer.
Okay.
So that's TPJ's. That's the newcomer's question out of the way. Tom, what is yours?
Now, guys, I struggled with this one because I hate it when you have to do these surprise things. You spring it on me last minute. I haven't had all day, I promise. And then I just can't think of anything because, you know, I just don't know what I want to ask you. What would test you? But then I come up with something. You took it away. You had to come up with something else.
Oh, did I? Oh.
No, I took it away.
Oh, I you think took it was away. James. James took it away. Yeah, James took that away.
I thought James's question was the one that we had before. Do we make it into the playoffs at 6-10?
No, that's not my question.
That's not
his question. My question's tougher.
We're going to leave his question till last.
Yeah, let's save that last. Let's have Tom's.
Mine is basically the trade deadline is fast approaching. What is your guys' thoughts, right? Do we try? We're in cap hell. I mean, we're knee deep in it. But what do you do to kind of ease that and try and fix it? Fix our issue now. Do you make a deal at the trade, or do we ride this thing out and hope that for some reason we get a miracle from Wales, the blessing that comes upon this Vikings team, and we actually go 8-8 and make the postseason? Although I don't think I want to, because you know this draft's amazing this year in terms of there's a couple of guys I like. So yeah, go ahead, guys. I'll throw it to James first.
On, James.
I know.
All right. Well, I've said this solution before in the show, past two episodes now. If I had to trade anyone away, I'd trade Anthony Harris. That's the thing.
I knew that's the one you'd go for, and that's why I've picked someone else.
It's the most obvious answer in the current situation. I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, just trade away Kirk. But at the same time, that the dead cap hits still a thing.
Who's taking that contract?
Exactly. But then it's also a case of how much dead cap do we take for the trade? I mean, that still becomes a factor. It's less so, but it's still relevant. Yeah. Anthony Harris is just a trade you can make for no hit. Get a simple third, even a fourth rounder that you can move up additional picks from the compensatory picks we're going to have as well. You can move them up and go back into the second round, which we used on Ngakoue, and just make it a situation that's beneficial for us in the long run. As much as I love Harris, he had a great season last season. You leave the lead in interceptions for a reason. It's not at that level at the minute, and I don't think he's going to recapture it this form. I can see him moving on the postseason anyway. Just get some value from him now.
Yeah, I'm going to make a call that I don't think Vikings fans are going to like. And it's one that I mentioned on the last episode.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, Rudolph the Red Zone Reindeer. I don't know. I'm not an expert on like cap hits and everything. I had to open SpotTrac just now to work out who is among our highest earners. And you can't trade Kirk. You can't trade Thielen. You can't trade Ngakoue. You could probably trade Harris, but I wasn't going to pick that one because I knew James had that one. Harrison Smith is a linchpin of our defensive backfield, so you can't trade him. Then you get to Rudolph. He is our sixth highest earner, and we have Irv Smith.
Now, yeah, I was going to... excuse me. I was actually going to say, is that a reason why you would make that move? Do you see Irv?
It's the only reason I would make that move. It's the only reason I would make that move.
Last week.
Yeah. I
you were what, 6-74?
Yeah, something like that. Let me have a look. I'm sure I can get it up.
Oh, how close was that? Here we go. How close was that? I said 6-74.
Sweepstakes.
This is off top of my head. My phone was on Twitter.
Price is Right rules. It was 4-64, Irv Smith.
Damn.
Not far off.
Not at all.
Whereas Kyle Rudolph made one catch for 10 yards.
That's probably a first down, though. Like,
I mean, yeah, it probably was, but it...
It's again...
As I say, I love Kyle Rudolph. I think he's a gem of a human being. I think if he leaves the Vikings, he retires to Minnesota, like, to live in the state. Because I think he's found a life there. I don't think he gets that somewhere else. I think maybe he gets it as another payday. But I mean, how old is he now? He's
31.
Is he 32? Is he
32?
Oh, he's 30. He's 30. He turns 31 in just under a month. I didn't realize he was younger than me. but there we are.
But that's the thing. So. Making that move, then, just to put it into context for listeners, you're going all in on Irv. You're saying we're going to give this young kid that finally give him the keys. And I got to say, I don't agree with trading away Rudolph. I just don't, because I think we will lose one of those players that has, he's just Mr. Reliable. When you need him, he's there. And you'd need that from Irv. And as much as I like Irv, I just think he still needs a bit of time to be able to develop that.
But as we said in the last episode, tight ends, like really good tight ends, are a luxury. Yeah. And I think having two like useful tight ends, I think, yes, you're right. Irv is not as proven as Kyle Rudolph, but it's his second, third season with us. Like he's shown sparks that tell me he's ready to be our TE1. And Kyle Rudolph only has a limited shelf life. Let's get value for him while we can. And I don't say this with great difficulty, because I've met Kyle Rudolph like two or three times. He's always been a really great guy, and I would sorely miss him if he left the Vikings. But if it comes down to him or strengthening the roster at another position through the $5 to $8 million a year he could give us back, then I'd like to make that sacrifice, please.
Yeah, I mean, I respect it. I mean, and listen, you know, Irv, I'm not putting no respect on him. I put loads of respect on Irv Smith Jr.'s name. You know, I really like Irv, and I actually picked him when I did the thing with the Vikings this year as a breakout player, I believe, and said that we just got to give him more time, give him more snaps. And there's only a matter of time when we see this guy break out and be the guy that makes that move that you just mentioned, Tom, makes it make sense and becomes a reality as such. But I don't know.
Who would you trade, Tom? Just,
me personally, who would I trade, trade away?
Come on,
away Kirk Cousins for a cheese sandwich
point. No. Hell no. I'd trade him I'd trade him away. I'd trade Kirk Cousins away for that, you know, that shitty paste you get, that sandwich paste.
Oh, sandwich spread.
Yeah, we'll just get some of that in.
Those green and orange bits in it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Then I just chuck that in the bin.
What have I let myself? Is this a Kirk Cousins bashing podcast?
No, I don't mind the guy.
Listen,
I'm gonna stick up for Kirk Cousins and the move we made until the cows come home, but that's not for now.
That's the bye week special one. We're basically all going
out.
It is
a bye week special, but let me just say this right now. I don't trade anyone. I don't make any moves. I just go with what we got. It is what it is right now, especially with the COVID situation. Because making moves for players right now for me would just be a bit awkward and a bit of a nightmare. I'll just ride this thing out, you know, and then June 1st, 2021. Goodbye, Kirk. So long, sucker. Have fun in San Fran. And then, you know, whatever happens from there, I need to think about it, really. I don't know. No, I'm only bragging. I'm joking. Kirk's actually, I got respect for Kirk when he comes up big. And
yeah, but
it's just when on a consistent basis. I just want to see consistency from Kirk Cousins. And I can't be honest that too much because he hasn't been that bad. And as we've mentioned Kirk, I was just going to throw a little summit to you guys about Kirk, actually, and my obsession with the guy. Big game Kirk, okay? We need big game Kirk, like I just mentioned. But since joining the Vikings, right, he's had 7 games with at least 80% completion rate. Does anybody know where that ranks in the NFL and what the Vikings record is in those 7 games overall?
Ooh, I'm going to say for completion percentage rank, that probably ranks them about 6th or 5th. But record, I'm going to say they're 2-5.
Tom?
Not a clue. I didn't even understand the question.
Okay, so put it in context. What's the Vikings record out of 7 when Kirk throws a completion rating of 80%? And he's done it 7 times.
So James, you said 2-5.
2-5. I think these are primetime games.
I'm going 1-6.
Okay. And where do you think he ranks with that completion percentage?
What, in terms of all Vikings QBs ever, or
in the league?
In the league right now.
Well, during that time, where he's at the 7.
Oh, okay. I don't know, like 4th or 5th.
Okay, well, I'm going to drop a bomb because the Vikings are 7-0 when he throws 80% completion rated, right? And it's the most in the NFL.
God, we are such Vikings fans. Like when our quarterback is playing well, we assume that the Vikings are playing badly. Good grief.
please, Kirk, if you're listening to this podcast, I know you probably don't, because you know, and I'm not.
He's got his own podcast.
I'm not against you. I'm not against you, Kirk. I love you, Kirk. Just please give me that 80% this week. 80% each week, Kirk, will be flying. I'll give you another extension when we're
at... Kirk, if you listen to our podcast, please give us a follow back and then drop me a DM. We'd love to have you on the show.
Sorry, I thought we were waiting for him to answer that.
So, anyway, before I go on to my hard question, we do have a bit of fan interaction this week. Good old Andy Henson asking us a question. It was actually a covered topic by you guys inadvertently. Thoughts on Irv Smith specifically this season? A lot of pundits, and Tom included, backed him to have a breakout season. And it's just not come to fruition just yet. I mean, he had that good game against Seattle, but you look in the games previous, he's had a lot of penalties, a lot of costly moments, which have just interrupted tries and put the Vikings on the back foot when it's not needed. What do you guys think has happened to Irv Smith?
I'm going to let you go on that one.
I think he's just not had the opportunity to thrive in this offense yet. I think because he's still our TE2. He's not the go-to guy. I think that Kirk Cousins has got his favorite target, which this season is obviously Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, just behind him, or to Dalvin Cook for a dump off. Last season, he at least had Stephon Diggs to throw to as well. And I think that's just what it is. Our offense doesn't serve Irv the Swerve. If you like the rhyme, but like, what's he been in for? I'm looking at Pro Football Reference now. He's been in for 31, 35, 36, 41, 59 offensive snaps. So it's increased every week this season, in terms of numbers, not in terms of percentage. Cause obviously against, Tennessee, we had, I think we had quite a lot more. We had a lot more snaps, but, He's getting involved in games more. He's just not making catches. He had two going into the Seattle game, and then he had four more that day for 64 yards. So it's situational. He will receive the ball when the situation demands it, and it just hasn't, because Kirk's got other options to throw to.
I agree. I see where you're coming from, but then that goes back to what I said to you. You've got to be able to take the reins off him, let him go. That's what he needs. But he's getting more and more snaps each week. He had a career high in receiving yards last week. It's progressing. The more snaps you give a guy, the more he's going to be able to get into a game, into the regime, and be a guy that can really make a difference and be the breakout player that I backed him to be.
But I mean, it is interesting to know. Zimmer said last week, just to interject, Zimmer said last week in regards to the Tennessee game, they had designed a play specifically for Smith to get him involved, but the read was just wrong, so they changed it so it didn't come off. So the offense does have him in mind. It's just something else might be going wrong here.
Yeah, he's only had three games in his career where he hasn't made a reception, and that was one of them. The game against Seattle was actually the game where he saw the most action, the most offensive snaps at 59. So, yeah, the time is coming for Irv, and if I had my way, he'd be TE1 because Kyle Rudolph would be out on his ear. again, I say that with no relish whatsoever. although the more I labour the point, I think people are going to stop believing me. I think Irv is on the verge of breaking out.
Yeah, and he has totally to take agree. The chain, take the reins off him, let him go. Allows people are going to question him, and I don't think it's fair to question Irv, because I think he has got the possibility, and I've said it, and I will live and die on the train or whatever you live and die on these days. I don't even know. I'm a little bit tired.
You die on a hill. It's the hill you want to die on. That's the phrase.
I think the only time that someone died on a train was a very famous novel.
Yeah, and nobody know who did it, but
Anyway.
But hey,
anyway, listen, so there you go, Andy.
That shit.
There you go, Andy. The reason why Irv Smith hasn't broken out this season is everyone else's fault. Simple enough.
That's pretty much
I love it.
Right. So anyway, to end the show, my hard question, my brainstormer for you guys. The Vikings offense in recent seasons after 13-3 has stuttered. They've gone through DeFilippo, Stefanski, and now Kubiak. There's three offensive coordinators in that time. Ironically enough, only one of those people was involved in that 13-3 season, and he wasn't the offensive coordinator for that. My question to you is, without changing anyone else in the personnel, so everyone else stays the same, would you guys trade the Denver Broncos for offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, giving them Gary Kubiak?
No.
No.
Absolutely no.
Tom, I want, well, Tom Wade, you first.
No.
Why?
Did you see him? Have you seen him? Have you seen the way he plays? No.
I was the head coach of the Giants, though. As our offensive coordinator, head coach,
he was horrendous. Hell as no.
I'm gonna add on to that. I'm gonna heck in hell no, yeah. Because the thing is, as our offensive coordinator, when he was with us, Pat Shurmur, he played a super conservative type of football that was effective based on the system we were playing with Case Keenum. And it was based about like short dink and dunk type football, getting it to the tight ends, not really exploiting the downfield ball. And it kind of worked with the Minneapolis Miracle. I'm just going to say that. But that was because Marcus Williams whiffed on the tackle and Stephon Diggs. But anyway, that's by the by. I think we're in a better position with Gary Kubiak as our offensive coordinator than... I mean, I'm not saying he's the answer to all questions that we have about our offense, but I think he's better for this team right now than Pat Shurmur would be.
There's only one guy I'd bring in to this team, and he wouldn't even come to us anyway, and he's because he sat in Kansas City, and he's probably going to go on and win another chip this year. So, hey, and if not, you know, I really like Stefanski. You know, our guy Steph... I was really hoping selfishly that it wasn't going to go well in Cleveland. We just get him back, but I think he's doing really well. There's only two guys I'd take, and that'd be the two guys, Stefanski or Big Mike in Kansas City, but neither of those guys coming back. We're all dreaming. We're stuck with this bloody regime that we've got right now. Let's suck it up, get on with it. Until we make a change at QB, head coach and offensive coordinator, we will continue to have this discussion. But great question, James. What do you reckon?
Oh, I'm glad you both disagreed, because I would also disagree. This is why in my head...
I knew you'd do some bullshit like that.
I'm glad, because I want Vikings fans to listen into this and realise that record isn't everything. That season under Shurmur as offensive coordinator was a fluke, because it benefited a backup quarterback and we had great players around him to play a safe system, and that defense played lights out. It was the best defense in the league that season. This is what a lot of people don't realize. And that was generated by Mike Zimmer for the most part. So we're still in that position to go forward with Zimmer as the head coach. And I want this to be a realization for them. And just go forward, realize that he's got a plan, he's going to get it done, and it's going to be okay. And that's the note I wanted to end the show on. So, first episode of the trio, think it's gone well. Don't you guys agree?
I do. Can I just add, when you said, Tom, that you wanted the guy from Kansas City, I thought you meant Eric Bieniemy.
I thought you meant Bieniemy as well, to be fair.
It is Bieniemy, sorry, yes. Yeah, that's the guy I wanted.
Yeah, the guy who used to be our running backs coach and used to be KC's running backs coach and is now their OC.
This is that's what I'm saying. That's two guys I'd only bring back that we have.
The only position he'd come to us for is head coach.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I'd still make that move as well. But that's something else we'll have to wait and talk about. But hey, you know, I'm not on the fire Zimmer train. Again, a train thing. I'm not on that bandwagon yet. I'm not.
Just let him focus on defense. Make him defensive coordinator. Run yes. Game. But we'll save
just,
that.
Just say, look, just take.
We've rambled enough. We've got to end this episode.
Take the demotion. At least you can save face by saying we didn't fire you.
But you know what, guys?
Inevitable in the end. But
we'll save that discussion for the bye week.
Yeah, yes. I think so. I think so.
With that, guys.
Speaking of which, bye bye.
Exactly. This has been us. We've been the UK Scourgers. It's been great for you listening. Be good people. And as always, Skull Vikings.
Skull. He gets away from the pressure, fires to the end zone. It's one! It's one, Lewis!